was out, they pull me back in. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McGee, General Nick Lentz Kennedy with us for this abbreviated version of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition, just 1 hour. You know, we've said in the past, we don't talk much before our show. We just talk during our show. But yeah. this one, there wasn't much. I don't even think I looked at you yet.
World record. Good to see you. Hi,
good to see you, too.
You guys
good morning.
Talked about your shirts.
We did coordinate. It's an unbelievable.
You didn't get that memo, Sammy?
We communicate. We're like twins, the wavelength we're on.
We've got a jam-packed hour on our Leaf Edition. This hour, of course, Jay's getaway, which has caused this early start. So we'll pack it right in wherever you're watching, listening, Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. Glad you're aboard to at least have us attempt to figure out where we are when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But am I the only one that feels like you're getting kind of drawn back in? Would Leaf Nation feel the same way? Let's start with you, JB, on the state of the Toronto Maple Leafs after a big win in Boston to prolong this Thursday night.
You know, we spent some time towards the end of yesterday's Leafs Hour talking about would it matter if they pushed the series deeper and still lost, you know, and talked a little bit about the character and what it might say about the team and quitting on the coach and all that. I think we learned something last night. That team could have gone out last night and rolled over. I thought it was one of the best efforts the Leafs have put forth out of the gates of the year.
No, to be fair, you, at the last second of yesterday's show, said you've got confidence that the Leafs can find a way to win. So you stayed a little bit on course here. I'll throw it to our trusted Leaf Nation president here in Sammy McGee, who said, no, I don't want a Game 5 win because it'll just prolong the misery.
Right.
How do you feel this morning?
I'm twisted up.
Yeah, I love it.
I got no idea how to feel.
I love it. I know.
I got no idea how to feel.
You're not alone.
I sent out a tweet before the show, a poll. I'm like, tell me how to feel. How do you feel? I said, you know, do you believe?
This is the beauty of being a Toronto Maple Leaf fan.
Yes.
Is it's the ongoing twists.
All I know is 56% of 290 votes in 10 minutes say that they believe. So they kind of got it right where they want it.
You're not a Leaf fan if you don't get sucked in.
Like
the way this was always going to go. And in retrospect, I regret not having this take. That I was so downtrodden, that I was so upset about how things went on Saturday night in Game 4. And in retrospect, the obvious take was, they're clearly going to pull us back in here. Like, they are obviously going to bring us back in.
And we did have that conversation, too.
I know, but I was too tunnel vision, too mad, didn't have that, didn't see the forest of the trees. Is that the saying,
forest of the trees? Yeah, you got it.
Didn't have it. And now, after last night, I'm like, oh, here we go.
The rug comes out on Saturday.
Here we go. There's still a couple games before the real heartbreak kicks in, boys.
But emotion aside, that's a well-played game, a road game where they came out ready to play. You've often talked this season about not coming out of the gates with any purpose or any, you know, piss and vinegar. And
it was a role reversal last night. What we saw out of the Boston Bruins in two games at Scotiabank Arena was what we saw last night out of the Toronto Maple Leafs at the TD Garden.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nailed it.
And you're seeing their fans react the way Leafs fans reacted, with complaints about the coach for changing the Boston lineup, complaints about the officials for not getting this or that right. You know, they are frustrated with their team's performance last night. I got a brother-in-law who lives in Boston who said he'd never been more disgusted at the Boston Bruins than he was last night.
Well, I sent you guys that screen grab, right, from the post-game show of the Boston Bruins. And I'm just pulling it up quickly here. Like, they have like a fan vote on whatever, and I know it's easy for fans to be negative, but you know, they're the team that's up in the series. And it said that the Bruins win in six, 18% of people think that. Bruins win in seven, 8% of people think that. Bruins lose in seven. 73% of their fans think that. Like, is this a ghost off here, boys?
It's a ghost off.
Is it a ghost off?
Plenty to get into, including Joseph Wall's huge, that might be an understatement.
Yeah, no kidding.
Performance last night. But let's go to Sheldon Keefe for our first Kippers Clipper on what he liked last night.
Aggression, the assertiveness that we played with from the start. You know, we didn't feel sorry for ourselves. We didn't mail it in. We went out to take charge of the hockey game in the first period, and I thought we did a terrific job of that. Tremendous effort from everybody in that first period. Difficult to come out of that with only, you know, at 1-1, you know. But that was, as I said to the guys, between periods is play a tremendous period, yet we're still 1-1. That's how hard this is. That's how tight this is. And you got to just stay with it. It's going to require 60 minutes, and tonight even more than that. But, the way we went out and took charge of the game and asserted ourselves early, I thought was impressive and really, really good message from the players to deliver like that.
Okay, so yesterday we had Steve Valiquette on our show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been in this business a long time, right?
Yeah.
I've never heard a guy break down goaltending like he did yesterday on our show. And
if you haven't listened to it, you should go see it.
Absolutely. Go get yesterday's podcast. Have a listen to the segment with Steve Valiquette talking about goaltending, and in particular, the Leaf situation with Samsonov. And like I said, I've been around this business a very long time, and we've had some great analysis who are goaltenders. Yeah. But I've never heard it broken down like he did yesterday. And it's worth a lesson. Or a listen, sorry.
It was a lesson.
Yeah, a lesson and a great listen.
Yes.
And you know what? He's very flattering on our show. Yeah. I know he sent you a text.
Oh, yeah. Just do me a favor.
No. Just read the part where he describes our show.
Oh, it's great. He said it's awesome. He loves it. It's the best in the business. All right. He's the man.
And I only say that because it's a compliment to you guys.
Yes.
Okay? That's what.
Yeah.
All right? That's okay. The only reason I brought
high
it up.
High fives all
now,
around.
Bring this right back to the Toronto Maple Leafs, okay? If you listen to Valiquette talk about Ilya Samsonov, and he's been very consistent over the whole season, it just brought me to the conclusion last night that, like, where was Joseph Wall in this picture for the Toronto Maple Leafs in, what, the last 10 or 15, 20 games of the season when he came back? Why was he not considered a legitimate guy to start this series? I believe now, after watching last night, if Wall started this series, they would not be down 3-1 going into game 5.
It's tough to argue with that. You know, when he did have some struggles after his injury, and they weren't terrible struggles, it probably should have been more of a priority instead of saying, here's equal starts, one of you, whoever gets better results, plays in playoffs, saying, what can we do to get him looking like he looked before the injury? We know how good this guy can be. What can we do? Because we think the best of Joseph Wall is better than what Samsonov can offer. I'm team Wall for sure.
And we were consistent all year long. Like, I was blown away, to be honest with you, that like, we thought this was all funneled for Joseph Wall to start.
Particularly those Boston starts they gave him were in March, I want to say.
Yeah. March-ish.
Yeah. So, you know, like, a month before playoffs, they thought he was going to be the guy, too. And then there
high
was...
ankle sprain. I know he was out for 2 months, but, like, to completely write him off as a legitimate starter in this series, to me, was a mistake.
Well...
Go ahead.
He's here now.
Is there enough time for him to make it up?
You know, that might be the theme of the article I write today. Is there enough time?
Did I just write it for you?
You did. Thank you. Is there enough time to see through what the vision of this team was supposed to be, where Nylander's in and his timing is good and he's Nylander, and Matthews is in and Marner is in and he's going and Wolf's playing well? all these things that you thought made up this team, including the depth and play from Nyes and Domi and Bertuzzi and guys who looked good last night, is there going to be enough runway for them to be the team they thought they were going to be? Because that's a good team. It's just a little janky right now, and last night made you believe they could get there. It's possible to get there.
Watching Wall last night was just like confirmation bias for me. Like, it's just like I knew this guy was the best goalie they had the whole time, and I tricked myself into thinking that it was the right move to go to Samsonov to start it. He had a couple bad starts against Boston, like you said. But there's no question who the better goalie is. Like, it's just, I know, and it, if you look back on this series and the Leafs lose Thursday night and he's bad, or they lose a 2-1 game and he's really good again, we're talking about stuff that goes on the ledger of mistakes that have been made. You can look back on this and be like, this was a mistake that was made to not start with him.
Yeah.
And this is not to rip on Samsonov, because I do think that it showed a lot from him to...
Oh, yeah, work back from the depths of...
Work back from being waived to have 31 other teams tell you that we don't want you. Mm-hmm. That's a big hit. For him to have battled back like that...
But he earned next year's NHL contract. Someone will give him one.
He will, JB, but he will, and if they're smart, they will look at him as a very good backup goalie. This guy is not an NHL starter. Okay, he is James Reimer. He's Antti Raanta. Mm-hmm. He's a good or even a very good backup goalie. Yeah. But this guy cannot be the guy when the chips are down that you're going to have in net.
No. No, I would agree on that. Do you want to hear Keefon Wohl, or do you want to
Let's
keep
do it.
Hum along? All right, clip one, please.
He fought through a tough injury, this season, and that sort of derailed what was, a tremendous season to that point. But he stayed with it. I think he's, since the playoffs began, or, once we were sort of preparing that last week, once Joe really knew he wasn't going to be starting in game one of the playoffs, it was really obvious to me that he was, going to just continue to work and do everything that he could and prepare as though he were playing and staying ready. So he's certainly done that. And because of that and how, how the game and the series have gone, I mean, we've had daily discussions about, when's the right time to get Joe in. And because of Sammy and how he's played and how he's competed and how he's bounced back so many times, including from game one of this series to game two, you stay with Sammy. But, Joe showed tonight, why you have confidence in him.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of big saves in OT. In OT, they did not have their best moments, the Leafs.
Well, it was a very short OT, but that first defensive zone pressure for the Bruins was a nightmare factory.
Grade A chance for Coyle in the slot. He pulls out the left leg, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that do for a bench?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how many times have we been in that scenario where we're like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Make the mistake. It's not going to cost us.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. You need that note in playoffs in general, and you can't win without it.
I heard Matt Nyes talk about Wall last night. I think they're good buds.
Yeah.
I just cut this clip because this is exactly how I feel about Wall. So Matthew Nyes, clip one on Wall.
Yeah, I mean, getting to know him, he's a pretty calm and collected individual. And, I feel pretty safe when he's in net there. He's, I think he's just, very calm, sees the ice well. And, I trust him a lot. So
you're just a different team when you have a guy like that.
Yep.
Playing like that. Mm-hmm. So here we go from an unbeatable Swayman to a guy who was better than Swayman last night.
Yeah.
And one save better.
It does change how you feel about things. And boy, it's easy to talk yourself into this being the scenario the Leafs had been looking for here now. And it feels like the Bruins are tripping all over themselves trying to... No one's happy with anything that happened on the other side.
Okay. Do you guys mind if I ask you a question about the Bruins playing tight?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I talked about this a little bit last night on Leafs Talk, but, you know, we made fun of the 3-1 thing yesterday quite a bit, and we made fun of Reeves for talking about it, and, you know, we kind of threw it away. It's not something that we were really talking about as a narrative. But the way that game started last night and the way the Bruins looked for long stretches of that game last night, that was the first time where I was like, oh, crap. Is this a thing for them? Like, is this actually something that they're really thinking about? Because to me, I know what that looks like. I know what a tight team in a home game with a crowd that's not as loud as usual, that's not exactly, like, they're feeling it. And I was surprised by how bad they were last night. They were awful.
Yeah, it was Freaky Friday. They switched.
Big time.
They switched.
They did.
Like, they couldn't get the puck out of their own zone. How many times they had clean possession and it never came out of their zone?
Yeah.
Like, that didn't happen earlier in this series. And what did they finish with? Two shots on goal?
In the first, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, so that's crazy. At home, that should be unheard of.
Well, it's so funny because you know, we talked about coaches and how they spend so much time trying to paint the other team as the team that should win, right? You're trying for that underdog status. I think being up 3-1 and the Leafs being without Matthews is like, you should win. Like, there's no excuses for that Boston Bruins team. It's just like, you should absolutely go out there and just win this hockey game. And there's pressure in that in itself at home. So,
and you mentioned this earlier in our show, Montgomery changed the lineup.
They pulled up Beecher, who made a really nice play earlier in the series.
And Grizzlick, who factored in on the game-winning goal.
Yeah.
That
Tavares got the edge on him by much. And like,
Tavares doesn't beat many guys on the outside.
For the A, for pushing him.
Yeah.
Making Grizzlick answer the question.
It was a strong play, but you watch the hesitation to close Tavares off at the blue line.
He's a good skater, I thought.
And Tavares was smart enough to lure him in.
Strength instead.
And then push him off. But that's why Grizzlick's in and out of the lineup.
And I think it bounced. It went off the side of the net, then off Grizzlick's skate into the slot.
I thought it was kind of side of the net, goalie stick, whatever it was. Right.
In the vicinity. Yeah. And I mean, it just, what a dream.
Nyes came off the bench there.
Dream for Nyes.
The other factor was that Max went 10 for 10 in the faceoff. Like, you win the faceoff.
Max was unbelievable.
You win the faceoff, you have puck possession.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something that the Leafs didn't have again earlier in the series, is the ability to hold on to the puck. I thought Max and Mitch Marner and Bertuzzi set the tone on all of that.
100%.
Yeah, go ahead.
That line, I think, is the next. We're ready to turn that page. That top line for the Leafs last night was really effective, created a ton of opportunities for them. Mitch looked like Mitch. That's the guy we're accustomed to seeing, and he
had the puck.
He had the puck. You know, he did a good job in that regard. I thought Domi, I don't know if it's going back to center or if it's Matthews not being out, so he's playing differently, but he really skated. When he's moving his feet, he's so much more effective. And that's, people are going, he's 2-on-1s. He should have looked at the goalie. He should have shot.
He should have looked at the goalie.
It is. No, he should have done something else. But he's getting those opportunities because his feet are moving.
Yeah.
So I'd rather him be putting himself in those spots than not.
All right, let's go to a Kipper's Clipper on the top line from Sheldon Keefe.
Yeah, the line was really good. Max did a tremendous job. Did a really good job of ensuring that that line didn't have to spend a lot of time in our end because of how they were skating, how they were working, how they were on the puck. As much as we got guys with lots of skill, and Max is certainly one of them that can make plays to the neutral zone, all that, like, our game and our period and, you know, our start to the game has to begin with a forecheck, has to begin with work and competing. That's the playoffs. That's what this series certainly demands. And that line did that extremely well. They really, really worked. So because of that, they got some favorable pucks, and they got pucks back. They were able to attack the net and spend lots of time on offense. So, yeah, they were tremendous tonight. And credit to Max stepping up is outstanding in the faceoff circle as well. It was really good and clearly needed here tonight.
Okay, well, first of all, Sheldon, they didn't spend a lot of time in their own zone is because you gave them offensive zone faceoff. Okay. Which you never did earlier for Marner. Marner had defensive zone faceoffs.
Yeah,
predominantly early in this series.
Well, he's their best defensive forward, so they need to.
I get it, but like it's going to affect your offense.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you put him in offensive zone faceoffs, which predominantly went to Matthews' line, and it's a different feel.
I mean,
for Marner.
Yeah, I listen. You know, coaches use the term work all the time. That's like a crutch for a lot of them. But to me, that's what that line did last night. Like, they were working so hard. And Mitch was winning battles, which he hadn't been doing to this point in the series.
Bertuzzi took so many cross checks in front of the net.
Oh, yeah. And he hasn't contributed offensively a ton in this series, obviously, if I'm recalling correctly. But I thought he was working. And Domi, like you said, it's a good mix. So, gives you questions heading into the game. If Matthew's available, do you stick with Domi at center? You put him right back on the wing. It's gives you questions for sure.
Better Nylander for you?
Yeah.
Still not there for me. To me, especially around the net, the plays that he usually can make around the plays. I know he had the post, the crossbar, but the plays around the net, he's off still.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Even that one, the crossbar, he usually takes that across the net. He makes strong plays across the net. You kind of stayed out wide there.
Yeah.
You know, that's not quite him. But he did have some shifts later in the game where he...
Is he building towards something?
Building, where he broke Marchand's ankles in the one play and hit Edmondson with a pass. And, you know, he set up a couple guys that I thought didn't quite put pucks away. So, yeah, it's coming for him. And that's what I talked about kind of off the top of the show is like, it's there. Are they going to have enough time for these things to get realized? You know, Nylander hasn't scored a goal in, I don't know how long it's been, 3 weeks.
Was it 11 games heading into the playoffs?
Yeah.
So now it's 13 games without a goal?
Guy scored 40 times this year. He's like, he's can do it.
Yeah, you would imagine one to cross the line here eventually.
You would think so. And then I guess the other story with that line is, you know, we talked about Tavares, but Matthew Nyes, really, to me, that was his best game of the series. You know, the OT winner, I had our stats people pull, because I believe he was on the ice for every OT winner against Tampa Bay last year.
He was.
Yeah. So he's on the ice for all of those. He scores the one last night. Going back to college, he scored 3 OT winners in college. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Only 13 overtime games he was in college. He had three of the winners.
He is the best player on the team when it just driving to the net.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not, but he is creating holes or the ability to find a loose puck.
Leading the team in goals in the playoffs, right? But the same, the one Marner hit him with early in the series, same thing. He's going to the post, right?
Yeah.
He's learning that he's a giant guy.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Sheldon on Matthew Nyes.
He's been really building, you know, this series game by game. He's been getting better and better. I thought tonight was terrific. It's very fitting that he gets the winner first on an incredible effort by John Tavares to drive wide and get the puck to the net front. But fitting, because Nyes worked really hard. You know, it's terrific. You know, happy as I was waiting outside for those guys to finish up here. You know, it's not lost on you. You got two young guys up here that make a real impact in the game here tonight. So that's terrific to see.
And I thought you would have liked that when Pastrnak was going at Morgan Rielly, he stepped in and said, go me.
And with a laugh.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
With a chuckle. Like, I'm not intimidated. I don't care if it's my rookie year and you're an all-star. I just thought it gave, again, a feel and a look that was appropriate to, hey, we're not going away.
Yeah.
We're not going away. I thought that was a big step. And I also loved the Holmberg tackle.
Boys. Yeah, Holmberg's all over Marchand.
With Marchand. And again, for the first time, we're seeing a little, you know, rattled Marchand there.
I got to say, I've seen so many pictures, and I saw an incredible tweet of sports but make it art.
Yeah, art but make it sports.
Oh, yeah, whatever
is,
it is.
Is a great account.
And it's just like him looking up at the ref and the realization that he just took a massive dive when a linesman grabbed onto him from the blind side.
He felt the contact was a player for sure.
And it's one of the most satisfying moments. like I've said a million times in this show, dog.
Yeah.
All guts, heart and soul, tries harder than just, he is the heartbeat of that team. Can't question that. But my man's addicted to diving. He spends more time on the ice than he does upright.
Yeah.
Flops all over the place the entire game.
Yeah.
And he took it to his coup de grace is flopping when a linesman grabs onto him. It's incredible.
And then he was really mad at the linesman because he was embarrassed, I thought.
So embarrassed.
Yeah.
For me, like, once you get past a little bit of Marchand and Pasternak, then it's not that impressive for me.
No, it's not.
If you can just not cancel them out, but if you can minimize what they can do out there, and make no mistake, it's not just Nylander feeling it. It's Pasternak, too,
He's looking a little gimpy. He limped off last night. Yes. I don't think he's had the same sort of sting in his game that he usually does.
So once you get past those two guys as game changers, wow. Now, you should be able to, if you're the Leafs, counterattack the rest of that lineup.
Yeah, it's tough because anything can happen in playoffs, but I doesn't change my feeling that Boston team's not great. And their goaltending has been very good.
Mm-hmm.
But, God, I'm looking around the league, and you're seeing mediocre teams score goals.
Oh,
you know, like, pucks go in for teams. The Islanders, are scoring on Carolina, and Winnipeg pours them in against the, Avalanche, where they were in certain games.
Avalanche pour them in against the
The Vezina Trophy winner, at some point, the second best offensive team in the NHL has to have a night, don't they?
Two was enough last night. Let's go to Sheldon Keefe on putting pressure on the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what you want to do, right? You want to build positive momentum your own way. And, you want to make them be uncomfortable. You want to make them have to pack up and head out to Toronto. Yet at the same time, probably unlike us when we're coming here. I mean, I'm talking about, hey, we went there in game two. We played great. We won the last game we were here. I'm sure they're talking about it just the same. They're comfortable, confident playing in Toronto. So as difficult as this one was here tonight, the next one's going to be even harder, no matter where the game is played. Because now you got their attention again. I'm sure part of the first period is them a little unsure as to how we were going to handle ourselves here tonight. And, I don't think that we'll have that advantage mentally going into the next game, psychologically, but we'll have to make sure, obviously, that we get that right. And we haven't been good on home ice. So, we've earned ourselves another opportunity to fix that.
Wasn't just Pasternak feeling it, I think, on a block shot, Brandon Carlo disappeared overtime.
He took a shot to the face, I think, which makes me think he'll play next game. But, depending on the severity of it. But let's just say he didn't. That would be massive. To me, he's their number one inside defender, maybe like Lindholm Moore. But either way, he keeps the Leafs to the outside. If suddenly it gets easier to get to the inside, that would be really good news. Even if he's somewhat hampered in some way, that helps too. So things swing quickly in a series.
The other thing that's going to put pressure on the Boston Bruins is, to your earlier point, the scrutiny that Montgomery's taking right now for changing his lineup.
Changing a winning lineup.
Right?
Can't get Matthews back in there Thursday. You can't change a winning lineup.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I hate the can't change a winning lineup thing, so I'm fine. I think
so. But this probably speaks to his, again, I mean, a lot of reference to his college days where he had the two goaltenders, Mike Dunham and
Garth Snow.
Pretty good duo.
So did he change his lineup up front with the same thought that I don't care about this winning or not winning here? Because to me, he overthought this for me personally.
Like, is Brazo that much different than Beecher, who had been effective for them? Yeah, maybe. It didn't work.
Okay, so he didn't get the win with Swayman. Now everybody's talking about Allmark.
But
like, would he go to Allmark?
You can't. That would be
please
criminal.
Please do it. Yeah,
I think that's nuts. I'm with you.
Yeah,
yeah, I'd love it.
Like,
I think sometimes in coaching, you would go to like the opposing fan base and be like, what would you like them to do?
Yeah.
Be like, we'd love you to start Allmark. Let's do the opposite of that.
Swayman's been so good you got to look at the Leafs and say, you want to win this series, you're going to have to beat this guy three times.
Yeah.
Not one.
He wasn't that tested last night. He was very good, but like I can't think of too many where I'm like, oh my God, he's stolen from the Leafs there. The Leafs carried the play, but they didn't have a ton of excess chances, so he was good. You know what? One thing I want to mention is how about the terrible bounces now off Maroon's skate for the first goal to Frederick, and what was and the one to JVR was a random off a skate to the front of the net.
Yeah, but that's
hockey. I know.
No, but it's not luck. It's a hard forecheck that puts pressure on guys I know the Leafs love going with that 6-foot pass in the middle.
Yeah, they like to get it off the wall into the inside.
I don't like the fact that they're willing to do it at 70%, 80%. Like, to me, that has to be a 100% pass.
To be there.
And this time of year with room shrinking like that, I don't make it a first option.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to talk about,
it's not a lucky bounce.
I mean, the puck literally appeared on Matthew Nye's stick into a wide open net in the slot.
Yeah, similarly, I think you can give Tavares credit for a great play to get that puck there. And he's conscious. He's not trying to score that one-hander. Yeah. He wants to put it into a trouble spot.
In a dangerous area.
Yeah.
Yep. Bounces.
Causes havoc.
The one thing we haven't hit on for the Leafs, and I know we're going to go to the rest of the NHL quickly after this, or maybe not.
We don't have to.
Okay. Is maybe the best player on the ice past the, Marner and Domi, for me, McCabe. Jake McCabe was really good. Not just the goal, but I thought he broke the pucks out well. He skated, he defended, he looked good.
To me, it's his demeanor, too, and he's a go-to guy for the media. He doesn't say much, but what he says it. He gives me a little Ekholm, too, in Edmonton, where I like listening to him.
Yeah.
They're straight to the point. There's no sugarcoating. There's no you-knows or obviouslys. It's just straight goods. And I think that type of leadership is so welcome at this time of year for any hockey club, and McCabe is providing it for the Leafs.
Yeah, I was watching him last night thinking about how he's the type of, like, rough stone that you're glad he was somewhere else for like years in Buffalo, turning pucks over and making mistakes as he's getting polished into like a decent gem here. But he does seem like a really nice find for the Leafs at this point. And I think he probably has some years left being this kind of player. So valuable guy.
He did step up and hammer somebody in a tie game late in the third period. I don't know who it was that he got. Style it in, buddy.
did you love Jim Montgomery's clip of his thoughts of the game, or is that a waste of 15 seconds?
I mean, I just love how sour he sounded.
Okay, that's worth it for me, fans.
Okay, good. Okay, Jim Montgomery, clip one, please.
We weren't good enough. Just simple as that. Toronto came out ready to play. They took it to us. We weren't ready to match their desperation.
You're the coach. Isn't that your job?
Certainly part of it.
Yeah, any coach for sure.
It's good.
Look at the smile on your face today. It's fantastic. It's worth playing that clip. Good.
I really just don't, I really find a way to hate every coach the Leafs play against.
I like Jim Montgomery, but I also like Cooper and Maurice. So
yeah, I don't. I prefer Cooper and Maurice at least to be like, they do their condescending media thing where they like love being in Toronto and love playing it up. This guy seems like a sourpuss.
That's a guy that had no plans on coming back to Toronto.
Yeah.
Yesterday. So the day of last night's game was the day they blew game seven and to Florida. And
what was the script? Didn't they win?
Script so far.
Florida won game five
win,
in
loss,
OT, right?
Win, loss.
And make no mistake about it, between Cam Neely, the president of Boston, and the general manager, Don Sweeney.
Mm.
Montgomery's getting an earful today.
Yeah.
So there's a feeling like we blew 3-1 last year. You do not let it happen again.
You will not have a third try to blow a 3-1 lead, I promise. You can't. You can't blow 2-3-1 leads. You can't.
Won't get an argument out of me. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, let's take a quick break.
We'll take a quick break. Sammy's got game time after the break, more Leafs, and then we'll take a quick look around and try to figure out what the heck happened to Hellebuck in this first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. All right, that and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ma, I gotta go. I gotta go. I'm back on air. Okay, love you. Bye. My mom.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta go to church, isn't she? You gotta go to church with your mom. The game's
certainly
late
the holy
anyway.
Something. Put in a good word for the Leafs, mom. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. And just a reminder, tomorrow we're back on our regularly scheduled time, 4 to 6 Eastern. Take it away, Sammy, on Game Time.
It's Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So there's only two games tonight. And it looks like maybe Vegas going back to Adin Hill. Some rumblings out of practice that that's potentially going to happen. It's going to be a shame to not see Logan Thompson's unbelievable gear set up. I don't know if you've seen his home gear set up.
I never think about these things.
Oh my God, it's just all shimmery gold with the gold bucket. Looks amazing. And a few pucks under the net, so I guess it wasn't great. But just checking in on the lines for tonight. Vegas is now shifted to a big underdog. They're plus 135 in Dallas. Dallas is minus 160. Wow. And the Edmonton Oilers returning home with a chance to eliminate the LA Kings. They are minus 200 on home ice. The Kings are plus 165. Got to tell you, I love the Edmonton Oilers tonight, and I would be willing to put them minus a goal and a half at plus 130. Feels like it could be a bit of a coronation night for them.
She's over.
Where they, you know, they run it up a little bit.
Can Dallas win this thing without winning at home?
I don't know.
Did they start at home?
Yeah, started 2-0. They started 2-0 at home.
Yeah.
And then they went down.
You're going to have to win a game at home then, I imagine. Because
like, what is going on there? How does this become a road series?
Have we not discussed the coolest moment of playoffs so far when McNabb absolutely trucked Stankoven? And McNabb was feeling his oats, and he got the puck 4 seconds later, and Jamie Benn put him into the ground.
Those are bone-crushing.
Oh, the Benn on McNabb hit is monster.
I just...
Like 9 seconds... No, 3 seconds after.
I love hockey. I love that that's just still allowed. But, just a couple of guys...
Like I love ice cream.
Just hammering each other.
But it also wasn't like 2 games later retribution. It was like immediate payback. Which I really enjoyed.
And just a quick check-in on the Conn Smythe, as I like to do. Connor McDavid, still a huge favorite. Nathan MacKinnon, moving up at 12-1. Matthew Tkachuk, 14-1. Jake Guentzel, the fourth favorite at plus 1,600.
Wow.
Freddie Anderson, plus 1,800, holding strong at that number for Borny. And Sergei Bobrovsky rounds up the top six at plus 1,800. Number I love, boys, is Cale Makar at plus 2,200.
Oh, wow.
I watched him again last night. He took a weird hit. I don't know if you saw that. Got the wind knocked out of him. He was looking a little concerning, but finishes the game. Love Cale Makar, plus 2,200 for the Conn Smythe.
Yeah.
So that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Can we just talk about how cool it is that the NBA always has their best teams go through and the NHL doesn't always? Rangers, Carolina, Florida through in the East right now is
that's
our three best teams.
So just to touch base on your Conn Smythe, is there any room at all for Austin Matthews to get back into that mix at all? Is there any chance that could happen, Sammy?
I would like him to maybe get back into the game before we start talking about the Conn Smythe. Yeah.
Do you think? Where's the vibe on an Austin Matthews return for game 6?
I am lost, man. I get so many messages about this. I haven't got this many messages since the Corey Perry fiasco of people going, what are you hearing? You know, do you actually know?
I haven't got as many messages about this since the start of the week with Willie.
Yeah. But, you know, the injury thing has thrown a wrinkle into it. Elliot last night mentioned the injury thing as well. We talked about it at some length yesterday about this being introduced into the whole procedure. And the way he skated last game with coming out, testing something, being like no and leaving, seems to point more to injury than illness.
What did you see last night without Austin Matthews?
I saw a better play from their support guys. Like, you know, to me, it's a passengers thing where you're like, okay, we can't just sit back and watch Austin do it. We need to be better.
And that's the first thing. I did a post-game hit with Ivanka and Ken last night. And what I saw was for the first time in weeks, a team not trying to funnel pucks to 34.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. No, I agree. And I think, you know, there's one thing for sure. He's not the problem on the power play. I had that big takeaway. Yeah. Power play still stinks without him, but no, you're right. I just felt like they are so much different without him. I know that's easy to say.
It alleviated a lot of the pressure and
yeah. Wonder if it's a good way to break that addiction.
Chasing
70,
and I got caught up in it too. But you know, I did tell you guys months ago I don't want to see what I saw. And it happened anyways, but it was this tsunami and you couldn't stop it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
runaway train.
I understand that part.
Could have stopped.
But here's the but.
Yeah. That
it had a negative effect, and I think last night proved it.
100%. I don't know, you know, there's no doubt it had a negative effect. They just absolutely tractor beams for where's 34, and it felt like a team trying to get him the puck, and then that bled into playoffs a bit. So
they stopped playing hockey.
Maybe this breaks them of that addiction a little bit, and then you can reintroduce him when everyone else remembers how to play hockey. That would be a good thing. Are you hearing anything about his potential availability, about what he has?
No,
is it illness? Is it injury?
I'm just with you guys. I get mixed messages, mixed signals that there's more to just an illness. They chose the word illness. Everybody focused on illness.
They've unchosen it, though. They've unchosen illness.
No. They've added.
They've added. They've also selected
they've
another.
They've compounded it.
No, they sprinkled illness with a topping of injury.
Sick. Injury sprinkles.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So I think at this point, if he does come back and he is relatively healthy, you're adding now to what they reestablished, I think, in game 5. So that's, we all know they're a better team with 34 in it.
Yeah.
But it has to have the right look for 34.
I don't think he plays.
It's hard to believe he'll play.
After 48 hours of not playing, can he come back?
Mm. Well, if it's injury and he's too injured to play, it's harder to believe. Illness, I couldn't. If it was just illness and he didn't play last game, I was on the team being like, what are we doing? You know, but if there's some injury, that really does complicate it. So
the more we get away from this and the more we talk about it, there is just absolutely no way that it's just illness. Like, clearly. Like, there's no way he doesn't play if he's sick last night. So
I go to the fact that he made the trip. I go to the fact that he went to the rink in the morning, put on his equipment. He got out there. How sick can you be?
Yeah.
Right.
Couldn't go.
Right?
So not illness.
Yeah.
Not illness. Mm-hmm. And if it is illness, then
I didn't see anything for injury outside of the bonk you took in game 82.
You got to make up a disease if it's illness.
Oh, yeah. You need to create a brand new one that no one has ever.
That's right.
The bubonic plague.
The Matthews plague. It's a new one.
You got to paste medical book pages together and come up with something new.
Yeah. To be like, we couldn't solve this one. Call house.
All right. You know, any word on the power play at all? Like you just mentioned, no. You know how I've always pushed for like two units and, you know, create a competition with your B unit? Like, there is no B unit. Like, you cannot, there's no secondary power play.
There's a unit.
There's a non-existent, whatever look you saw in game 5 that looked like a trail of a second unit. Is horrible. It's even worse than the first unit.
I was watching when Riley took the puck across the blue line, he broke it in clean and was like, it wasn't under pressure. And then he just banked it back out of the zone. And I didn't even flinch. I was just like,
fun.
What are we doing? It's just lost.
And all right.
The heartbreaking thing is Leafs have gotten an awesome whistle. I mean, 17 power plays? Yeah. 17 power plays through 5 hockey games is awesome. That's plenty of opportunity. Yeah. Score 5. Score 4. Like, you don't need to be running at a 40% here.
3-2 Boston.
That's
two more.
That's it.
That's it.
1-17.
All right. We beat it up pretty good.
Yep.
On the Leafs. We only got a few minutes left, but thoughts on Winnipeg.
Mm.
Canada losing one team last night.
I'm ashamed. Not at Winnipeg. I'm ashamed of myself for picking Winnipeg after watching Colorado.
Agree. I have nothing else to add on that.
Because Colorado, you know, they've been through the wars. They've had their playoff successes, and they just look like a better hockey team.
They were getting faster as the game went on.
Yeah.
Like, they were getting faster. Like, Winnipeg had no answer for that speed.
It's such a reminder that in the biggest times of the year, when you have these elite guys, they're the guys that pull you through.
Rantanen just ripped their guts out at the end of that game. They tie it up, and he just
To me, though, like the engine on Nate MacKinnon is unlike anything I've really seen. Like, I watched Marc Messier. And that's an engine.
Who's the
Nate's
guy?
An engine.
Who's the rusher for Kansas City? Is it that they were comparing him to? Remember, like the Kansas City Chiefs running back. There's one of these guys. Is it Pacheco?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the way he runs, this, power, angry, trying to go through people that are other than around him.
But it's his lateral movement, too. You can't guess if he's going left or right when he's coming at you 1,000 miles, like a freight train.
Yeah.
And yet, he's not on these rails that turn like a train. He's, split second, he can go left or right.
Yeah. No, he's brutal. Brutal to manage. I just can't imagine. I would almost rather play game plan for McDavid because you know he's going around.
That Winnipeg defense just... Not even close.
Doesn't help when they shoot in their own net.
Doesn't come close to being good enough.
No.
Pionk just shovels that one home.
Yeah.
Tough break. Vancouver.
Yeah, Vancouver.
They got a Pettersson problem, boys.
Yeah.
No good. No good.
Did Nashville look like a team that said in those dying few minutes, we're not letting them back in here like we did last game?
Yeah. Yeah.
They shut it down.
Yeah, they did. It's they got their hands full because Nashville's a complete team. You know, you're going to need, I talked about your horses. You're going to need your horses to come through. And when Pettersson's struggling like he is, it's a major issue. By the way, for Matthew's defense, Luke Shen missed the game with illness. So it does happen in the postseason, apparently.
I will say, watching Zadorov play, God, I wish it was on the least defense core.
Yeah. Zadorov is very good.
He last night, that's a 0-0 game. He comes flying through the neutral zone, shoots one under the bar on Saros, gets that building rock, and he's hammering guys. It's
He
could use that.
Impact player, for sure.
They could use that. And what did they get him for? Was it a third-round pick? They got him for nothing.
They got him for not having tree living. That was the acquisition cost.
A great point by you, sir.
Yeah. You'd pay $6.5 for that, wouldn't you? Next year?
Yeah.
Six and a half?
There's going to be games where we would come in here after that and you'd be going, we're paying $6.5 for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
Yeah, there's enough upside that you'd be.
He has 4 to 5 highlight reel hits in this series already. Yeah. Like he's a mutant.
Fun guy.
So you think Petey's going to be feeling it now?
I mean, how can you not?
He's just the type, isn't he? Like the playoff type of guy where it's like.
He's got that. It's just, there's nothing there.
I had someone write me and be like, can a hockey player be depressed, during a game? Like, he just looked sad.
Got a bad look in his face.
Yeah.
I know the look.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of Leaf games where some of their stars have had that look. That's why I loved on the bench when they were MFing each other on the bench. I'm like, oh, that's new.
Hey, I came in here and said the same thing. I said, that's fine. That's progress. That's good.
Just seeing the ghost face from Pettersson would terrify me.
It's a good thing they got a guy like JT Miller who just will...
Killer.
Take you through a wall, too, so.
Killer.
Camper's favorite player in the league.
Saros, too.
He's very good.
He's kind of good.
Yeah.
It's an advantage.
What do you like? You like Dallas or Vegas tonight?
I just want to say goodbye to my New York Islanders.
Oh, yeah.
Who gave Carolina a valiant push.
Hey, listen.
Wasn't for expansion.
Way worse.
Think about where they were before they hired Patrick Waugh and how they finished.
Yep.
Right decision.
Yeah. They pushed the Canes pretty good, even though it was a 5-game series.
Okay, that's a quick hour for us. On The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, we're glad you came along a little early.
Sammy's off to the course. You can tell by his attire.
This would have been really bad if the Leafs had a loss and wore my golf stuff today.
Can we get rid of these J afternoon games?
No.
Next year?
Yeah, let me call Mark. Mark, yeah, Shaps, Shapiro, what do you have to?
Shaps.
Did they win last night? I don't even know.
No, they lost. They scored one run.
They did.
Yeah, they can't score. Right.
Well, better luck to our Jays this afternoon.
Yes, sir.
They better win because they bumped us off our spot. Pressure's but we're back on. Tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.